Today we have a story for you. This one talks about the greatness of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So inshallah we sit back. And this is something we cherish every single day of our living life. The greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Who Allah Rabbul Izzat is. Allah Ta'ala's place for us in our lives and around our lives. So many wonderful mercies. It is for us to accept those bounties. And every single day to thank Allah Ta'ala. Allahumma ma asbaha bi min ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqika fa minka wahdaka la sharika lak falaka alhamdu wa laka ash-shukru. One of the systems and methods of responding to Allah Ta'ala through appreciation is that we do and carry out the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. And the life of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a beautiful, a wonderful life. An honorable prophet, Imam of the Anbiya's, the beloved of Allah, mercy unto mankind. So beautifully I read this morning. Can any pen of any human being do justice to the life of Sayyidina Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Never ever. Never ever we can write, but how much can we write about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But today, our story takes us to a wonderful and a beautiful lesson. Allah is great. Allahu Akbar. Allah is so great. Allahu Akbar. This is the story, and the story starts off where the person who sent this email said, this touches one's heart, and this only confirms that dua is so powerful. A friend of mine always tells me, put your head on the musalla and see what you can't get. Just try this. People on this day of Jummah ask in so many ways and are going to be asking Allah Rabbul Izzat at different times, inshallah al-Aziz, and we need to do that. So someone said, if you put your head down on the musalla, just see what is it you can't get from Allah. Everything Allah Ta'ala will give you in this world and in the everlasting year after. Our story today carries us to the heart of the most wonderful continent of the world, the continent of Africa. The story was written by a Muslim doctor who worked in Africa. He says, one night, I had worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward. But in spite of all we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying two-year-old daughter. Let us try and put the scene in front of us. Clear the minds. And let's get the imagination running now. Here in the heart of Africa, in some remote village perhaps, there was a doctor doing duty. There was a woman, like many women throughout the world. Yes, they also get pregnant in Africa. They also have babies in Africa. They may not have the facilities, but the mercies of Allah Ta'ala also rolls out on every portion of Allah's earth. And here it was rolling out in Africa. This doctor is writing. It's a difference as he's writing as a Muslim doctor. He says, I was there and we tried to help a mother. The baby was premature. Great amount of complications and difficulties. And then the mother passed away. She left two little kids. A tiny premature baby and a two-year-old daughter. The doctor continues. He says, we would have difficulty keeping the baby alive, as we have had no incubator. Now, I want to raise a point here. Maybe just going back a little. If you can remember well, our elderly mothers that are listening this morning, how many births have you given or brought children into this world just in the comfort of your bedroom? You've never been to this huge and massive clinics that charge well above 15 and 20,000 rand when you come for labor? Every single time a pregnant mother visits there, it's another complication, it's another x-ray, it's something else you're going to go to, one after the other. And then you never at that time went for a 4D sonar to see what your baby is going to look like, to see whether the baby is a boy or girl. None of this was existent. At that point in time, the midwife was visiting in the bedroom of the home. Suddenly there was a voice of a little baby crying, and the baby was born. And in this way, they grew up to be strong and healthy. And the mother was strong. That is the difference. The mother was well and the mother was strong. In today's time, it is one complication after the other. Under those huge lights, there's so much of apprehension and fear from a mother going to give birth. What has happened? What has changed? So this doctor is telling us, here in the heart of Africa, in this remote village, there was this little premature baby. What were we battling with to keep the baby alive? And we had no incubator. We had no electricity to run an incubator, the doctor says. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly with a treacherous draft. One student midwife went for the box we had for such babies and the cotton wool the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill a hot water bottle. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. Now, what they were trying to put together was makeshift. What Allah Ta'ala has put for them in their knowledge. Let's get this together. Stoke the fire. Fill the hot water bottle. Let's get the cotton wool together. Let's wrap the baby. We don't have an incubator. The doctor continues, he says. And it's our last hot water bottle. This is what the nurse told him. It is no good crying over spilt milk. So in Central Africa, it might be considered no good crying over burst water bottles. They do not grow on trees, and there are no drug stores down the forest pathways. All right, I said. This is the Muslim doctor talking. Put the baby as near the fire as you can, safely, and sleep between the baby and the door to keep it free from any drafts. Your job, he's telling the nurse, is to keep the baby warm. This is the sight of humanity at its best. This is Allah Ta'ala's most wonderful and greatest gift. Human beings, as you are, help another human being and go through all the motions without medical science, modern medical science and all that we have. And we thank Allah Ta'ala for all that we have. But yet, we ask Allah Ta'ala, why with everything so modern do we have so much of fear and so much of apprehensions? Here the doctor is trying to save this premature baby in the heart of an African village. And he tells the nurse, sleep in between the door and the baby. So you as an adult could rather get the draft, but not the little baby. This is a struggle. It is a fight. Allah Ta'ala has given us a little life. The mother has passed away. It is only us that is left to bring this child and keep this child going. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with any of the orphanage children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about and told them about the tiny baby. So there was an orphanage. Many people were also dying in that area. So the doctor says, I called to the orphanage and I said to the children, let's pray. Ask whatever you want to ask. From your innermost innocence and your sincerity of your little hearts, ask from Allah Ta'ala. So I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm enough, mentioning the hot water bottle. So he's talking to these little kids and saying to them, this is what happened. Let me tell you what happened. We've got this little baby that needs so much of warmth. And the hot bottle we had, while filling it, it just burst. So we don't have a hot water bottle. And we are battling to keep our little baby alive. The baby could so easily die if it got chills. I also told them of the two-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. I said, there's a two-year-old girl so close to her mummy, holding her little mummy's dress from time to time. And now there's no one to hold because her mummy has passed away. She's got a little more understanding and she knows if she calls, she can call as loud as she wants to and as long as she wants to. There is no mummy. Her mummy's gone. The doctor says, during the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl prayed with the usual blunt conciseness of our African children. This child, and this is what I was trying to show you, the inner innocence of a child and a sincerity. Children talk from inside their heart with great amount of commitment and conviction. So there was this little African child in the heart of the continent, Central Africa. What did she say? What was her prayer? And this is what the doctor said. This little child prayed, please, Allah, send us a water bottle. It'll be no good tomorrow, Allah, as the baby will be dead. So please send it to us this afternoon. So here was this little child, an orphan child, talking to Allah, as if Allah Ta'ala is, and Allah Ta'ala is this great giver. And saying, Allah, please, we need the bottle now. Don't send it to us tomorrow, Allah. Send it to us now. Because how our little baby is going to be alive? We don't have the doctors now. Explain to us all of this. So with the conciseness and the inner innocence of a little child, she made this beautiful prayer. The doctor said, while I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added by a way of corollary, and this is what she said. She said, and while you are about it, this is talking to Allah, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really love her? So that two-year-old girl who has no mommy, Allah, while you are busy sending our bottle for our baby, send that girl also a little dolly so she knows that you love her, Allah. As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say Ameen? The doctor asked. I just did not believe that Allah could do this. She's saying, but this is impossible. What this child is asking for? Where we are and what's happening? How could this be? He says, how could I say Ameen to a prayer like this? I was put onto a spot. It is not possible, the doctor thinks, and he surmises. Oh yes, I know that he can do everything. Suddenly the doctor comes to his realization, where Allah Ta'ala says in many instances, Kun fayakun bi, and it is. He can do everything. The Holy Quran says so about Allah Ta'ala. But there are limits, aren't there? The doctor surmises once again. The only way Allah could answer would be for a package to arrive from the homeland. I had been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I'd never ever received a parcel from home. 4 years, the doctor is saying, the Muslim doctor, nothing has come from my home ever for me. How could this be a situation that'll be different now? Anyway, if anyone did send me a parcel, who would put in a hot water bottle? I lived on the equator. So how can you, as many people would say, send coal to Newcastle? Because Newcastle is filled with coal mines. So the doctor saying, on the equator, who's going to send me a bottle? Hot water bottle amongst all. So even if a parcel does arrive like this child has prayed, what will be in that parcel? So halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching in the nurses' training school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car had gone. But there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. The car was gone, but from a distance, there was a box. There was a parcel, 22 kilograms. What did the doctor say? How did he respond to this? He says, I felt tears pricking my eyes. Already his heart started jumping. What is this all about? Here was a parcel. I thought about it. Far-fetched. But what has basically happened? He continues, I could not open the parcel alone. So I went for the orphanage children. Together we pulled off the string, carefully undoing each knot. We folded the paper, taking care not to tear it unduly. Excitement was mounting. Absolute excitement. What is happening now? There's an undoing taking place. And one wonders exactly what is going to be happening next.